Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Ending our Teams of the Day series with a Stanley Cup matchup that could have but did not happen this past year. Best in the East, best in the West. Washington Capitals, Winnipeg Jets. We've decided to put them together in a matchup and an evaluation to close out our series before diving in from the rink tomorrow at Sabres Prospects Challenge. Incredibly, the matchup has two teams that now sit heading into this season with basically about $4 million each in cap space with which to work. The Capitals have been to the playoffs 16 of the last 18 years, and just this past year, won a round for the first time since winning the Stanley Cup. Winnipeg has been in the playoffs 7 of the last 8 years, and those have often come with incredibly high expectations as well. And this Winnipeg team is dramatically different for one reason only. They're no longer going into a season with Nick Ehlers as part of the lineup. So what do we make of the Capitals and the Jets after what they went through and what, in the shortest road, this season only, lays ahead for both?
You want the good news or the bad news?
I think there's nothing but good news for these two teams.
Okay, well, maybe I'll be the negative one on today's show about this, Duffer, because I just don't see the Capitals being able to continue at the pace that they did last year. I see a regression in their scoring. They were second in goals for per game last year. They almost added a full goal per game from the year before to their average last year. And I see it regressing. So I see that. I see their goaltending regressing. I don't love their back end. I mean, this was a healthy back end last year, and they had everybody perform, produce. But I'm like, how? Like, I'm like, Chychrun's good. Yes. Carlson getting older. Sandin, Matt Roy. Like, I'm like, I just don't see the Washington Capitals being able to duplicate or even get near to what they did last year. Now, Spencer Carberry is a fantastic coach. One coach of the year. Big reason why they were there. Dylan Strome was awesome. But they had so much out of Alexei Protas. They had so much out of Pierre-Luc Dubois, Wilson, McMichael, that everybody's going to have to perform that same rate. And I just don't see it happening. Now, maybe they do, and I'll be happy because Washington was fun last year to see an Ovechkin in the chase. But I feel like that shiny toy is kind of like getting a little dulled up.
Well, they've been fun for 2 years under Carberry, and that's how they made the playoffs the previous year when no one thought it was possible. So
-37 goal differential that year.
Yeah, but they won. So, I mean, I don't look at, I mean, both teams, Winnipeg and Washington, were really close in average age. They were just under 30. So you look at the tweaks, and there's always room for someone young. Like in the case of the Capitals, it was Ryan Leonard at the end of last year in the regular season. Then in the playoffs, he effectively gave them nothing offensively. So that's a wild card for them. What does a full-time first-year Leonard do in this lineup? Where I would disagree with you is the fact that Protas, Dubois, McMichael are just rising into their peak years. Mm-hmm. And the fact that they hit last year gives you endless belief that you can get more from these players as Ovechkin regresses, Carlson regresses, and you hope that you stabilize the defense, of which you said was insanely, almost perfectly healthy the entire year, but then lost Ferravari for the playoffs, so it caused disruption, and it didn't result in the best of things at times in the postseason before their ouster. But it was still a terrific season.
Do you think Montreal with a healthy set? Because that one game where Montembeau and Thompson both got hurt, but Thompson returned the next game, Montembeau never returned. Mm-hmm. I almost feel like if Montembeau is there for Montreal, like it doesn't end in 5. Yeah. It may have gone to 7. And Winnipeg, on the other end, we're 2 minutes away from losing the seventh game against 100%. St. Louis, and somehow miraculously come back and they moved on, right? So those two teams moved on, but different ways.
The point is their regular seasons were so good that to me, there's an expected regression and not a sustainable standard. They've been good teams for a long time, for the most part, based on the number of years in the playoffs that I referenced for both. So, okay, so the Jets dropped from 116 down to 106. Fine. They're going to be in a good place. And if the Capitals drop 10 points from 111 down to 101, they're making it. They're middle of the pack, and they will be fine. The question is, well, let's do it quickly on the Jets, since we kind of went through the depth of the Capitals. Yep. Connor, Scheifele, Vilardi, the latter, not healthy in the postseason, didn't give them the pop that he did in the regular season. And you have Jonathan Toews reemerging with the potential to help lift Cole Perfetti. You have a captain and Lowry injured to start the year. But again, I'm going to hammer home no Nick Ehlers, which was the most predictable player outside of Kyle Connor and Mark Scheifele on the roster. What does it mean to them?
Nick Ehlers is going to leave a void in Winnipeg. And the biggest thing for me is I get it. Vilardi can fill in some of that offense. I think Cole Perfetti can come in and fill in some of that offense. But if you're going to say we're going to move on from Nick Ehlers because we have to address our second line center position, and with Lowry especially being hurt to start the season, and what you're doing with that money that you saved on Ehlers is you say Jonathan Toews is going to come in and be our second line center, I think you have a problem. I think you have a problem. I think Winnipeg is going to be a really good team, mostly because they got great goaltending, and it wasn't just Hellebuck. Eric Comrie was really good as a backup goaltender. It allowed him to play the way that maybe less than usual for Hellebuck, and they're going to be good defensively. But second line center, your top six has taken a hit, losing Ehlers and not adding a center to be able to fill in a little bit of that.
So you have what percentage of faith in Jonathan Toews' season?
If you told me Jonathan Toews is going to be your third-line center or maybe your fourth-line center, I'm totally fine. Expect 35 points out of Jonathan Toews playing in a limited role, a third-line, fourth-line role. As a second-line center, you'd have to be 55, 60 points. I don't think Jonathan Toews is going to get there. I think 30 to 35 is probably the expectation for me. And it may not even be that. Look, the guy hasn't been healthy, and he hasn't played like at the high level in almost 5 years.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, Perfetti is a pretty good player, though.
Yeah, and Alex Iafallo is, like, taking a step forward. When they needed him to play top six, he did. They still have probably one of the best third line when Lowry is healthy. Mm. When you think of Niederreiter, Lowry, and maybe Namestnikov, or maybe Iafallo there, Namestnikov can play top six. Maybe he is your second line center and you drop Toews. There's options. I think there's still question marks. And look, the question marks is comparing Winnipeg to the President's Trophy winning Jets last year. Like you said, they're not going to be 116 points, but even if they're 106, you're totally fine in Winnipeg.
Well, just to make sure that we don't always do this, but I mean, we try to compare in this Team of the Day series, you know, some baseline notes, so it appears like an honest evaluation across the board. And most recently, as the series has gone on, we've tried to tell you what these teams have in the pipeline as well, as per Corey Pronman from The Athletic. Now, yeah. I find Washington to be particularly interesting in this regard because their pipeline ranking is 15th, where the Jets is 25th. And the Capitals have been able to do this at 15th while elevating players into the NHL lineup on the heels of multiple Calder Cups, on the heels of winning a Stanley Cup. So it's, I think it's a real feather, I haven't said this in a while, in the cap of Washington to be this good in so many areas while turning it over behind the bench and maintaining the presence of Ovechkin and losing Backstrom and Oshie and all the rest. So I think there's a lot to be said there. And I think Winnipeg deserves kudos always because of what they've cultivated as one of the smallest markets in the NHL and a loyalty among top players for the most part. And it wasn't...
Re-signed Scheifele and Hellebuck.
Yes, exactly. There's something special there. 100% there's something special there. So,
and Connor may resign, and then you're like, hey, you're building with core guys that are standouts. Like Scheifele last year still had himself 39 goals and 87 points. Like he was one goal away from being a 40-goal scorer, and that's great.
Scheifele and Connor are the two highest scorers in playoff franchise history for the Jets. And they're still on the roster and still have almost a decade worth to give. They do. You know what I mean?
And Scott Arneil did a great job. It wasn't an easy situation for him to come in and as the head coach. And in this now second year as the head coach of the Winnipeg Jets, we'll see what happens. Mm-hmm. But I still think, okay, let's play Winnipeg against Washington. 7-game series right now with their roster.
Mm-hmm.
Who wins? And I think it would come down to me, Hellebuck versus, and Hellebuck has not been the playoff goalie or the big money goalie, right? It's been like pretty controversial in that way. But I'm going to say Winnipeg would win this matchup right now. So I'm a little bit more bullish on the Jets than I am on the Capitals.
Right. But the playoffs aren't played in September. And so if I was to project these rosters, into April and late May, my wild card in assessing and or predicting would be which young players that we don't know about yet make it into the mix. Like does, just for example, like from Winnipeg's standpoint, does Braden Jaeger make the team?
Yeah.
He's done everything he can in junior. Does Lambert, after a drop-off last year with the Manitoba Moose, re-engage and earn himself a spot in his third-year pro, right?
Yeah, so, Hendrix Lapierre is the third-line center, like, and, projected, and he's doesn't have a lot of NHL experience.
No, but he has
AHL success.
He had the good AHL experience, yes. And that's what we saw from Connor McMichael last year, and it was like, holy cow, he actually surprised here for some that he did take all that success and flip it and then the Capitals. So do any of those kids help fill in for the absence of Ehlers in Washington? Does Marashnichenko climb into the ranks from a Capitals standpoint, if out of necessity, right? So I'm those are the wild cards. I would just, you know, probably for the sake of argument, I would just go on the Capitals side right now. If we were to see them next year, going head to head against the Jets, but I think it's a fascinating match.
Right? I'm glad that the Capitals didn't add much. Like they lost Mangiapane, UFA. They lost Lars Eller, UFA. They lost T.J. Oshie, retired, and then they traded who had not played, but they played it for Justin Sertoff and Declan Chisholm, and it's like, would these two be part of the depth, or is it just like minor league stuff? Or but they did not add anything really.
Right.
So it's,
and again,
just
you don't need to because of what's been in Hershey, right? Even Ethan Frank last year, came up and had he's older, not technically a prospect, but he came out of that program, and that's what fit for them. So I love the way that this all lined up and it gave us two W's. You always want to start with back-to-back W's in your campaign. Well, that's how we're closing our Team of the Day series, right?
Just don't go play them in Europe.
On that note.
Unless you're the Devils. That was fine for them.
Devils are on the ice tonight. And Prospects Challenge begins. The Devils are going to be against the Sabres tomorrow when Buffalo takes to the ice in their home rink for the Prospects Challenge, which is Lecom Harbor Center. We wrap up Sabres Live after this.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. you're seeing exactly
you
what
know why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.